At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Casting sports entertainment, it's Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Let us begin. Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is not my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham. The doctors have come in and said that he needs an extended period of rest. He is not as lucky as Cody. He cannot get back in the ring this week. So, filling in for him, I put up the Burkhead single, and out came Sean Burkhead!
Well, let me tell you, brother, you erased this single. I'm here now, and I can never confirm or deny that I gave the massive leg drop to one Greg Fatlum, but America. Heck yeah.
Are you going to threaten to buy Canada during this podcast?
No, not Canada. I'll just buy Nova Scotia. That's all I want to buy, Nova Scotia.
You can have Nova Scotia. I don't think the rest of Canada would care. Greg, I already did it once today. Sean, we started, and I had said we have to hit record because we're talking about how we view this very differently because you're watching this on cable television. Yeah, cable television. And I'm watching this on Netflix up here in Canada.
So my question to you was, do you get commercials on your Netflix?
Yes. So sort of. It looks like we started at the first. I thought as I was fast forwarding, I thought I was getting some weird. I don't even know, Sean. It was the weirdest thing because it kept like I was skipping. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, something wrong. Like, it felt like I would hit fast forward like I used to watching it on a DVR. And I was like, what's going on? And then when I realized what they were doing was because I started about an hour and a half, hour 20 minutes behind, they were cutting the commercials out.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay.
Okay. So if you were to go back now and watch it on Netflix, there are no commercials. They just cut the commercial breaks out. But as you're watching it live, you would get like a video package setting up the next match, or you'd get, if a match was in progress, sometimes they would show you some of the match without any commentary. It was just this weird hybrid of things, but it looks like what they're doing in the long term is that when it goes on to the show and you watch it on your, on a tape delay, you get all of the commercial pieces cut out. Now, if you're watching it live, you get a weird thing where it's like, stay tuned. We'll be back right now. And they're showing highlights of things. Does that make sense?
So it kind of acts like a PLE.
Yeah, kind of like a PLE. Nothing like Raw. Raw Monday night, Sean, was 3 straight hours of wrestling. So what we got in Canada was, maybe you did too there too. So if you're on an ad tier, you got ads. If you're on a non-ad tier, you got like promos and video packages, and it was very PLE-ish.
Well, let me tell you, I was on the ad tier this past week for that debut on Netflix for Raw. I'm about to upgrade.
So honestly, the only reason we've ever upgraded was we upgraded the first time because we ended up with, you can get on the second tier, you can have two addresses on one account. So my mother-in-law, as part of her Christmas present, uses Netflix. And I think it was the Jake Paul fight. So I'm watching SmackDown. My wife's in one room watching Jake Paul. My son's trying to watch it in another room and he can't get on. And he's like, something wrong with it. And it, finally, I get the notification. There are three users trying to use a two-user account. So I just said, screw it. I'll just upgrade now. I know this is going to be only going to be a reoccurring problem once WWE lands on Netflix, because there's always somebody watching Netflix in one room, somebody watching it in another room, and somebody watching it in another room. Which, by the way, if you have most other streaming services, they don't care. As long as you're paying, you can have four or five users using it. They don't care.
So true. So true.
So, Sean, this... I started by say to you before we hit record saying this was a pretty good SmackDown, and you went,
I was thinking that you were over there in the land of positivity. So I might just be the American version of Greg Fallon. I might bring this down just a tad for you.
Well, I'm just in a good mood because took a nap and it's Friday. Don't have to work for the next 2 days. Oh, and there's this little thing called we went out for sushi tonight. And we have a tax holiday here in Canada.
Oh yeah, I saw that. And you don't have a prime minister at the moment either.
Yeah, before he left though, he was like, you know what? For the next 60 days, don't pay taxes on not anything. So if I need boots, I pay taxes. If my kids need boots, they do. My wife has child-sized feet, children's clothes, no tax. Go to get junk food, no tax. Go to a restaurant, no tax. Beer and wine, no tax. Hard liquor, tax. Comic books, tax. Random Lego marked for children, no tax. Lego marked for adults, tax.
That was so crazy. Tax system sometimes. Like, oh, what can we give to the people so they decide not to vote us out of office?
Yeah, that didn't really work so well for our current prime minister. And our parliament is currently prorogued. So we don't elect a separate, leader. The leader of the winning party becomes the leader. So in order to choose a new leader of the Liberal Party of Canada, they have prorogued parliament, which is a fancy way of saying they just said, no, we're not going back to work for like 90 days. And the Liberal Party is going to pick a new leader. When we come back in the middle of March, they just basically said, no, we don't want to go to work until March 27th, Sean. Can you imagine? You walk into Walmart, go, you know what, boss? We've worked really hard over Christmas holidays. We're going to prorogue Walmart for the next 90 days.
I'll be like, hey, I'll see you after Easter. Have a great 3 months. And they'll be like, sure, help you find a new job.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. So by the way, you are eligible to vote for our next prime minister.
Do tell.
So anyone who is over the age of 14 can join the Liberal Party of Canada. It doesn't actually say whether you have to be a citizen of Canada. So you can join the Liberal Party of Canada and cast a vote for the next leader who then, because they're the governing party, becomes the Prime Minister of Canada.
No, Brad, I have a better idea. What happened if I became the leader of the Canadian Liberal Party? That would be Greg Felton's worst nightmare ever.
We allow people to vote for the leader. We don't allow them to just run in. It's this running joke about, do you know that every Chinese national can become a part of the Liberal Party of Canada? Just put that out there. Don't tell the Russians they can join the Liberal Party of Canada and pick our prime minister.
How's I going to win this sucker? I got a plan now. Okay, thanks, Brad.
So you're going to, Sean is going to take a trip to China and Russia for the next week, and they'll check back with us next week.
We'll talk about that.
In the meantime, we start SmackDown with the Raw broadcast team? Question mark.
Brad, we get the replay of everything that happened on Netflix because we needed that.
Oh boy. They don't encourage you to watch this show live. In fact, my daughter, we had family supper tonight, and my daughter said, I said, do you want to watch SmackDown? She didn't know I had you asked you to come on. She goes, no. She's like, I know how they're going to make the third hour of SmackDown, Dad. They're going to put 1 hour of recaps.
That's what it felt like to me.
She wasn't lying, Sean. Like, it was pretty darn close to 1 hour of recaps. So, yes, recap one was one whole hour of SmackDown. Okay, let's go into this. We start with everybody walking through. Sean, do you like these walk through the backs, the setup? Like, here's all the characters that you're going to see tonight.
You know, I kind of like it because it gives you more of a real sports feel to the product. And I kind of dig it. And the fact that we saw Paul Heyman walking towards the ring as they're announcing, oh, hey, we're kicking off SmackDown with the Wise Man. And I'm going, cool. Then we get the whole Raw on Netflix celebration.
Did you enjoy Monday?
Monday was great. I mean, I still got to watch the last hour of it, but the 2 hours I saw before I fell asleep was awesome, and I'm totally for it. And like I said, I'm going to upgrade my Netflix so I don't have to go for commercials.
Yeah, and then if you watch it after the fact, they cut all the commercials out.
Be fun too.
Yeah, that was the big news today, was that apparently if you go back and watch, if you happen to have a good VPN, and if there's a VPN who wants to sponsor this podcast, feel free to tell me later. I will happily take your free sponsorship money. I won't name my VPN because they're not sponsoring this podcast like every other podcast in the world. So we'll get in on that podcast money, Sean, or the VPN money, and then I'll say which one it is. But yeah, Canada, Netflix, recommended for NXT as well. Just skim, skim, skim. And you need a good VPN in Canada to watch Max. No, you don't want to watch. You should be all about Max right now, Sean. That's where AEW is.
You know, do you want to know my opinion of Max and AEW right now?
Ooh, go ahead.
Okay, so it's a great idea for them to be on Max. But if you want to have the full experience of AEW, if you watch on Max, you don't get picture in picture, which it's okay for me. I don't care for picture in picture because usually it's just you have wrist holds, you have the heel take control out of the ring. There's not much going on, but you do miss that little factor on the the Max version of AEW.
I think we should use our VPN to go visit somebody in the UK, maybe like your former partner David, and say, hey David, guess what, we're watching it here on Fight Plus, because they seem to have the best version, which is they get picture in picture, but they don't get picture in picture, they just get the commentary without the commercials.
That's the dream. That's what I was hoping AEW on Max would be, but I understand what he did because he still got to get the money from the advertising for the million streaming. So, hey,
apparently there's no advertising money in Canada. We're just going to show that. So after like 7 minutes of recaps, and Sean and I nodded off and then woke back up and said, hey, look, Paul Heyman's here. Looks like he wants to cut a promo. And Paul says that he is celebrating Roman being the tribal chief. And now he needs Cody out there. Cody comes out. He says, Cody, man to man, Roman's coming for the title. Cody doesn't seem surprised, but he gets distracted because Kevin Owens comes out and blames him for this, says you stood by the bloodline. Now you've let him get back to power, and it's on site. Cody said it last week. Cody leaves the ring and goes after Kevin Owens, fights up the out and out of the arena. Then poor Paul Heyman is left in the ring with the new bloodline, Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. Looks like he's about to be destroyed. Jimmy comes out for the save, but Jimmy gets overwhelmed. Back comes Cody. They fight their way out of the ring, and this was 20 minutes, Sean.
Yes, it was 20 minutes. And you're thinking, oh, this is going to be where they decide we're going to tell you about the main event at the end of the night. But no, we don't get that just yet. But we do get some breadcrumbs here for storylines going forward on SmackDown. As Paul Heyman says, Cody, you got something that a lot of people don't have from Roman Reigns, and that's his respect. Well, I would say that would be about 2 hours and 40 minutes of respect. We'll get to this in a bit.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it definitely was a breadcrumb, and I really liked the show for doing that. But yeah, they could have saved an entire segment later, but I guess somebody else needed to eat a beatdown. And speaking of a breadcrumb, the Bloodline are getting thrown out of the building, allegedly. And then LA Knight comes in and throws Jacob Fatu, who's been beating up security guards from the lot all the way from the first segment. And then he gets tossed out. Apparently, Jacob Fatu has unlimited money, Sean, because he doesn't care about getting fined.
Well, maybe he doesn't have unlimited money. Maybe nobody has the balls to actually go through the whole suspension process with one Jacob Fatu.
Nick Aldis is like, you know what? I will find anyone and everyone, but I will not find Jacob Fatu. Yep. I guess maybe it's an NWA thing. Maybe because they both were in the NWA.
Maybe there's some beef between LA Knight and Nick Aldis, and Nick's like going, sorry, dude, you're not one of my people.
Yeah, I remember you from the NWA. I didn't like you very much, so you get fined. I also remember you from this TNA company. You get fined. Never forget that I my daughter was sitting right to my side when I said, yeah, you know, they wrestled on this company called TNA, and she burst out laughing, Sean, because she was like, there's no way. She thought I made up that name of that company.
Oh, poor Mrs. Big Voice. So much stuff you have missed in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's the running joke I have with her. Is like, I'm going to play and create a new podcast called Sit Down and Make My Kids Watch Wrestling, and I'm going to make them watch Insanity. I could make them watch most of the TNA run, and it would just be, that would be enough.
I'll just start with the Hogan years. Boy, that would be insane enough.
And Joker Sting. Wait, why has he lost his mind? Never mind. Nope. Okay, well, let's go back to Chelsea Green versus Meechan for the women's U.S. title. Chelsea Green's gear, Sean. God bless America.
Oh, hey, can we just have the next Captain America movie be starred by Chelsea Green, please and thank you?
Yeah, or at the very least, can she be a sidekick?
No. Mrs. America. We just recreate Captain America as Mrs. America, and it's Chelsea freaking Green.
And her Secret Service, Piper Niven, that shiny Secret Service outfit just killed me tonight.
You know, they are a very well put together team. And if those tag team titles on the main roster meant something, we could have had two belt Chelsea Green.
Yeah. And ironically, their whole run began because Chelsea was teaming with somebody else and they got hurt and Piper just got thrown into the tag team.
Kind of, actually, I think if I remember right, Piper made herself into that tag team.
Yeah, she just kind of like, I'm in this team. So Chelsea Green attacks. There's stuff on the outside. We get a really long headlock coming out of this commercial break. Chelsea Green ends up hitting this amazing elevated flatliner, but the match comes off the rails when Meechan gets distracted by Piper on the outside. She takes out Piper. She comes off top ropes with a crossbody, and Chelsea just rolls through and grabs a handful of tights and wins with the 1-2-3. And then Meechan's going to attack after the match, Sean, but Secret Service saves her. Piper Niven just comes in, flattens Meechan, and they leave together. This was nothing remarkable about this match. This shows us how Chelsea's going to win. She can do great wrestling, but that is not what she's here for.
You know, she was the one lady that the Elite wanted for that first all-in pay-per-view, and she signed that contract with WWE, and she couldn't get out of that date to do all-in the first time. And a lot of people don't know that Chelsea is a freaking good wrestler, but she's also one of the best comedy wrestlers ever.
Yeah, she might be she's married to Matt Cardona, and I think she's the better wrestler of that family.
Well, he definitely outkicked its coverage. Let's just say it now. He outkicked its coverage.
Yep. Imported the best of Canada down to Long Island, New York. And yeah, she got Canadian. She got American citizenship. So I think it worked out for everybody involved.
But I got to say, Brad, if Chelsea needs a secondary finisher, that kind of package DDT flatliner that you were talking about should be her secondary finisher because it looked pretty dang good.
It could be her primary finisher. It's that good. The flipping unpretty her from the top rope, though, like this is the first week in like four that they haven't shown that replayed here from when she won the title the first time.
You know, maybe they're saving all the flipping for somebody else on the show. Maybe. Ooh, just maybe.
Good teaser. All right. Recap two. I cannot believe that the Motor City Machine Guns DIY Pretty Deadly nonsense. I sat through that twice. And apparently these teams are all fighting in the back. Add in a town down under, and we're going to get two sets of tag team matches. Sean, this is what happens when you get 3 hours. You get two tag team matches, not one.
And unfortunately for the Motor City Machine Guns, I think they have slid down into the purgatory of mid-card tag team feuds in action.
I just think the tag division is super deep. And yeah, I mean, if we get more matches like Lost Garza versus Pretty Deadly, I will take two tag matches a week.
Oh, let's just get to that match, and I'll tell you what I didn't like about that match.
So Angel and Angel and Birdo start doing, like, they are really showing off their lucha style. It's pretty much all Angel and Birdo until there's like a weird blind tag and a Hangman's neck breaker before the commercial break. Birdo gets beat down. Angel gets tagged in. And then he takes off first his shirt, then his pants. There is all this foolishness from the outside. And that's the only way that Pretty Deadly can get any offense, cheating from the outside. So Electro Lopez gets in on it. And there's a push from the other member of Legado. Boom, down. And then we get our finisher, which is their, like, they call it the NTY. It is like a... they press the guy over their head, and instead of dropping them the way you normally drop them, they flip them back into a back bump. The finisher looks great, but yeah, this match, so much outside interference. It took away from the action.
You know, we can play one of your favorite games right here. Do you have the music? Cue the music.
Oh, I need to find it for a second. I'll fix this in post, and we'll just play Who's the Heel?
So, Brad, tell me. Okay, Brad. So, me coming into this match, I'm seeing Pretty Deadly. I'm thinking they're the heels. So, that makes Garza and his partner the faces. But the finish of this match is the face team cheating to win. So who's the face? Who's the heel?
It doesn't matter. Because they all have to fight Motor City Machine Guns and lose so that we can get the Motor City Machine Guns versus DIY. Also, what happened to the Street Profits?
Maybe they should went to AEW with the Hurt Syndicate, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so it's no different. So that would be really funny if they came in and joined the Hurt Syndicate, because that would just be them WWE. Because if you're Hispanic in WWE, you have to be in one of two factions or feuding with each other. Or if on the other side, you're in AEW, you seem to have to be in one faction that is predominantly all the black wrestlers.
I mean, they kind of kept it. I mean, in defense of the Hurt Syndicate, if you go back to TNA, it was Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Kenny King.
Yep.
And then they went to WWE, MVP, and Bobby Lashley. They formed the Hurt Business. So, they just continued this group, and they just change out members every now and then.
And how long until they add in Ricochet?
Hopefully never.
Oh, I think Ricochet could use a mouthpiece.
I just don't want him in the group because I don't feel like he fits the group. So let's go back to the SmackDown.
Okay, so how many times is it going to be Tiffy time tonight? Because this was recap number three. It's Tiffy time. Oh, and by the way, did you forget that Shinsuke Nakamura and LA Knight fought last week? Recap number four. Maddie was friggin' Notre Dame. Like, so many recaps. Sean, why? Do you have Alzheimer's and I'm unaware of it?
Apparently, they think the average WWE viewer of SmackDown has the attention span of a goldfish, so they need to spoon feed us everything.
Yeah, and it's funny because if this was like, oh, we found new viewers on Netflix, we need to catch you all up in the storylines, that would be the excuse. But it's like, no, this is on USA. Everybody knows these storylines. So they're not getting new viewers. They're just getting LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the other US title match. This match was actually pretty good, except I hate the finish.
Oh, we're in agreement here because this was possibly the best match on the card tonight until the finish. And why the hell did we need to the former bloodline, new bloodline interfering here? I'm like, why?
So Shinsuke Nakamura is on defense because LA Knight comes out hot. They go, there's a couple of times where they're throwing each other into things before the commercial, and LA Knight hits the ring post twice. We come back, we get a sliding suplex from Shinsuke Nakamura. LA Knight recovers, springs to the top ropes. We get that suplex. We get this cool, Sean, have you ever seen this submission from LA Knight? I've never seen him use a submission like this.
Oh, you're talking about the inverted like a Boston Crab. It was a nice looking move.
It worked perfectly, especially given the fact they had exposed the turnbuckle and Shinsuke was selling the back. It was, I mean, this was close. It, at one point, Shinsuke hits his Kinshasa, but LA Knight's close to the rope. His foot's on the rope. LA Knight recovers. He then hits the BFT with the bloodline attack, and this match gets thrown out. So it doesn't matter. Nothing matters, Sean.
Because we got to save this match for the Royal Rumble, and we're 3 weeks away, so we can't have it finished yet.
And yes, so Shinsuke slinks away. This beatdown comes. Out comes Cody and Jimmy. There's a fight into the crowd, and Cody demands this becomes the main event. Why? Why couldn't we have done this in the first segment?
My thoughts exactly. Then we could have probably had a better finish to this US title match. And hey, why not have Shinsuke knock that Kinshasa against LA Knight? Then somehow LA Knight pulls him into that supposed turnbuckle. They both get counted out and we move on with our merry lives.
Sean, it is also could have been anything else. You're right. This was just, yeah, because there's not like, it's not a, we have a whole division full of mid-carders that could be going after this title. We need Shinsuke to feud with LA Knight for six more weeks.
Or at least three.
Wait. There's another pay-per-view after that. Because it's not like either of these guys are getting an elimination chamber.
Oh, come on. Have a little faith. One of these might get into six spots. They have a 1-in-6 chance.
Assuming that they don't have people from the other show get in the elimination chamber too.
Okay, fine. Still, 1-in-3. A 33% chance. Steiner math.
Steiner math. Oh, yeah, and Stiffy time again. Recap number 5. Sean, it's killing me. Okay, so tag match number 2, Motor City Machine Guns versus A-Town Down Under. Weren't Austin Theory and Grayson Waller not getting along?
You know, I had the same thought when they were backstage with Nick Aldis and they were saying this matchup. I'm going like, weren't you guys kind of like not liking each other, but now you guys are kind of together again and you're threatening to go to over to Raw? And I kind of like Nick Oz's response there. I'm like, he didn't really buy into it. I'm more like, I'll get a car for you and get your stuff. We'll send you over to Raw. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you for leaving. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. A great start with this match was the leg scissors into a face buster on Austin Theory by Motor City Machine Guns. Grayson Waller gets the hot tag, and he tries Ozzy, and no one says oi, 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 except for Wade Barrett, and he gets made fun of for it. Because Brits don't do that.
You know, I love this pairing of Barrett and Jimmy Smith. Great.
Yeah, this is a perfect pairing. So outside interference leads to the MGM selling Motor City Machine Guns, then hit their double baseball slides and a suicide dive. They hit their combination flatliner missile dropkick. It looks at one point like Great Wall in Theory have a chance, but Motor City just
outclass them, and we get the Skull and Bones on Austin Theory. Grayson Waller never loses, by the way, with this team. It's always Austin Theory eating pins. Didn't this guy beat John Cena once, Sean?
I bet they're going to try to retcon that out of existence here.
Yeah, that's one of those wins John Cena's get back this year.
Oh, yeah, on some random house show, John Cena's going to show up and get that win back.
Yeah, or just next week's SmackDown. He'll SmackDown through a SmackDown. He'll drop him through a SmackDown logo all the way to Raw.
Oh, I got it now. The SmackDown before the Rumble, it'll be Austin Theory versus John Cena for the spot number 30. It'll be basically the attitude adjustment. 1, 2, 3. John Cena gets his win back.
And that way he only has to throw 5 or 6 people to win the Royal Rumble.
Well, he said it needs a miracle. So he didn't say how big of a miracle.
Hey, listen, he should win the Royal Rumble. That he would be the second guy in WWE history to win 3 Rumbles.
Well, if I was booking this Rumble, I would have Roman at 1 and I would have Cena at 30.
And have Roman make it to Cena. Yeah, that would be great. Exactly. He can take like 4 naps in between, roll out of the ring. It'd be fine. It's fine.
Oh, come on. The Tribal Chief has advanced so much in his career. I'm sure he can handle 35 to 40 minutes before Mr. Hustle T, Willa T, and Respect rots down to the ring.
Wait, those aren't exactly 90 minute intervals. You're ruining the mystery. You're ruining it. All right. So this match, obviously we don't care about. DIY's in the back. They don't care about it either. They're talking to Pretty Deadly, and Pretty Deadly Wit is like, you know, you should trust us. Why weren't you helping us? And DIY was like, dude, you use too much heat on us right now, but don't worry. We got you. And they can't even say their names right. And Apollo Crews shows up with his new gimmick, which is I walk through the back and say something smart ass and start stuff. And yeah, he just says, if you trust them, boy, you got something coming to you.
And you deserve everything that's coming to you. And it's not going to be the WWE tag team title shot.
That was exactly what he said, Sean. Thank you. And dude, is this his character? This is what Apollo Crews has become.
He has become everybody's favorite heel, the fat checker that checks everything you put on social media.
Oh my gosh, that is his character. He's become the thing Triple H hates the most. He is the living embodiment of Dave Meltzer.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, he should come out with his phone and his live Twitter account and just be tweeting at Triple H and fact checking him.
And just give his random thoughts about every match on SmackDown.
God, he has a podcast just like us. Surprise guest host next week, Apollo Crews, invading the SmackDaddy's podcast so that he can come in here and tell us how much he hated the segment he was in. Oh my gosh, we just booked the best or the worst thing ever. So yeah, commercials. You just skip through the commercials on Netflix. This is about when I figured that out. Hey, Sean, it's Tiffy time.
Yeah, I got some promos about this.
What? Yeah, you mean the fact that Tiffy came out? I mean, I love the fact that Nia Jax hints in the back earlier that she's going to come out and just scorch Earth. And boy, oh boy, Tiffy comes out. She makes Tiffy puns. She says it's Tiffy time. Nia Jax doesn't let her get very much out before she basically says, you took advantage of me. I thought you was a dumb blonde, but you're not that stupid. And either you can give me back that title or I could beat it out of you. You ungrateful. I think she starts the promo by calling her an ungrateful little shit, which is just hilarious. Like the Nia is PO. She's like your angry mom.
Okay, let's back up this a second here because Mrs. Generational Talent cashes in the Money Bank contract, wins said title, and the big celebration of her first time on SmackDown with the title is Brian freaking Saxman is the person interviewing her. She gets no balloons, no streamers, no band. Who's booking this? It's not me booking it.
Yeah, I know. It's like Nick Aldis. Come on, you had one job. You're supposed to make this special. Not even flowers, Sean.
No flowers.
Yeah, this just nothing. And so before Nia Jax and her can get into it, Bayley comes out and says,
hey, listen, Nia, you took advantage to get your this title. You used Tiffy, but Tiffy's not that dumb. She actually outsmarted you. I'm very impressed, but I'm going to be the first one to get a title match. Naomi and Bianca come out, and it's really only Naomi that wants a title match, but Bianca just kind of is there. So Naomi gets pushed to the side, and we have Nia getting in Bianca's face. So at this point, everything breaks down. There's fights all around. And Tiffy just sneaks out of the ring, climbs the top rope, hits the prettiest moonsault ever on everybody, then leaves. And Nick Aldis is like, you know what? You four are already in your gear. You wrestle, and the winner gets to be the number one contender. Sean? What?
You know, it left me with a lot of questions. So my first question is Candice LeRae the smartest person here? Because she's manipulating everybody, Tiffany and Nia Jax. Eventually, are we going to get Candice LeRae versus Tiffany for the title or something? And God knows that maybe Candice LeRae might be a person that gets a title down the road. Secondly, are we trying to treat Tiffany as a babyface or a heel? Because I feel like the company isn't sure how they want to play her, because they're still trying to keep her in this like tweener role where the fans love her because she did the title change, but she acts like a heel to the crowd. And it feels like they're trying to babyface Nia Jax.
Yeah. And also, why are the tag champs not focused on keeping those titles? Why do they want singles gold?
Well, that would be the question if the tag titles meant anything on the main roster.
No, instead, the tag champs are in this match. So Bianca Belair, Bayley, Nia Jax, and Naomi are all going to try and fight, and the winner gets a shot at Tiffy. This match was also a pretty good match, but the story of this match is the fact that Nia Jax is terrible at Fatal Four Ways, and all of the faces are beating up Nia Jax.
It felt like here's the one baby face and these three mean girls are just beating the heck out of Nia Jax. The story of this match is Nia Jax is the baby face trying to overcome the odds here. And they had one impressive Tower of Doom spot, and I felt bad for Bayley taking that small drop from that height.
Oh, and just they even say in the match, Nia Jax never won a Fatal 4-way because everybody gangs up on her. And that's exactly what happened. There was several spots in this match where Nia Jax got taken out to the outside, and then two of the faces wrestled, which was to the benefit of the match. But then Nia would come in and do big, you know, the big guy spots, the big power spots. The interesting part was when Candice came down, and at one point she's grabbing the braid of Bianca Belair, and it accidentally hits Naomi across the midsection. That was a little bit of a teasing, because until then they really weren't hitting each other, and they tried to not have any contact. A couple of times when they could have gone at each other, they took dives to the outside. But eventually, we are just left with Nia Jax and Bianca are on the outside. Bianca dives on Nia, and that takes them out, which leaves Bayley left in the ring, and she hits the rose plant on Naomi for the win. And the number one contender is Bayley. Sean, is this simply because somebody has to put over Tiffy, and Bayley will definitely get the best match out of Tiffy?
I do believe so. I feel like they want to save Tiffany versus Bianca Belair for later. So they're looking around, who else can we use here? And Bayley's the perfect person to do this, because this loss coming up next week on SmackDown, spoiler alerts, your title match is next week.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, Sean. That's the next segment. Bayley's in the back, and she just says, hey, I get a title match. Well, great.
It should be a great match, though. I'm looking forward to it.
And yeah, they'll have a great match because they have good chemistry. And also because Bayley, it doesn't hurt Bayley, because I don't think she's long for the show. I think she's Raw bound.
She could be Raw bound. I mean, oh, wait a minute. You remember this transfer portal thing they were talking about? Has anybody really moved? Besides the announced team?
The announced teams have moved. The ring announcers have moved. And the monster among men, Braun Strowman, has moved from Raw to SmackDown.
Okay, fine. They did one person. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. I apologize.
We are only, and the only reason I remember that is because Cody and Jim are in the back getting ready for the match. And Mello gets in Jimmy's face saying, hey, man, I'll let last week slide, but you better be careful. You know, you'll get got by the new bloodline or by someone like me, the way I took care of the Monster Among Men. And it's like, you're really talking about how you got rid of the Monster Among Men. And yeah, he's going to be back soon.
And Carmelo Hayes is the biggest geek ever. And that was, oh, by the way, your number one draft pick on SmackDown.
Yeah, can he go through a portal?
He needs to.
If anybody is grateful that Trip Williams lost his NXT title, it is Carmelo Hayes. Boy, oh boy, does Carmelo need Trip and him back together like last week.
Or, you know, Trick can come up to SmackDown and beat Carmelo and go on his merry way and keep this losing streak of Carmelo going.
Right to AEW, because he's about the right height for AEW.
Fair point.
So wildfires, thoughts and prayers are with the people of California. Just unbelievable. Like watching that.
Yeah, it's a very tragic and sad event. So like you said, thoughts and prayers to everybody out there.
And this leads us to like the 55th recap. Not getting even bothered with sound effect. Next week, Greg, here's what you're coming back to. Tiffy versus Bailey, Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Garza, and Solo versus Hearns. 3 hours and 45 recaps. SmackDown.
You know, Greg, if you want to stay away another week, I could probably come back for another Tiffany match. So hit me up, maybe, to say.
Yeah, Sean's like, I have volunteer on to be on Tiffy duty, but you have to watch the whole show, Sean, not just the Tiffany Strad match.
I would watch the whole show. I mean, I ain't gonna do anything else this Friday night for any good reason. I mean, Tiffany's on TV, so why not?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a great match. And what was not a great match was Jimmy Uso and Cody Rhodes versus Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu.
Oh, this is a classic third era Raw. Somewhere in the mid 2010s that you're going, oh my God, why is this match on here? Oh, I know, because we need to fluff this show out so we have 3 hours for USA Network.
There was like 4 minutes of action. Then we get a commercial. We come back from the commercial. We have Jimmy selling. Cody gets the hot tag. Disaster kick. Dive to the outside. Cody's juking and driving like he's his dad on Tama Tonga. Finally, he even cuts off Jacob Fatu by hitting him with a spinning dragon screw to the leg. Elevated DDT by Tama doesn't slow Cody down for very long. Cody cutter. They get a power and glory spot after a hot tag from Cody and Jimmy Uso. But of course, Cody has Jimmy as the legal man, and Kevin Owens comes out, which means Cody can't stop. Can't do anything but run up and leave the poor Jimmy by himself, and the new bloodline take over. Impaler DDT on Jimmy by Jacob Fatu, and then Jacob Fatu hits his amazing moonsault. They're not technically the bloodline anymore, but they can't stop winning. Why aren't these guys the tag champs?
Well, that's a good question. The other question is, Cody, why did you not want to win this match? You could have won this match, then chased Kevin Owens up to the back and fight through the back and back out. And oh, by the way, go through two convenient tables set up there
and onto the concrete. There? Yeah, it was just, and they were just fighting through. It's like, aren't they having a ladder match, not a false count anywhere match?
True, so true. Surprise, there wasn't a ladder there so they could climb up and fall that.
This is, and where's Kevin Owens' Winged Eagle title? I thought the whole point of this was that I got to see the Winged Eagle title.
Yeah, because he was defending it on house shows during the holiday season, and you would think that this is going to be a classic ladder match where you have two titles up there and you have to get both titles to be champion. But apparently Kevin Owens doesn't really care about that Winged Eagle title. He just cares about being right and beating Cody.
Being right and beating Cody. Sean, sometimes if I've learned anything from 20 years of happy marriage, sometimes being right does not help at all.
You know, sometimes you admit your defeat. So
no, sometimes even if you are right, you just need to take your licks and say, mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yep.
Also, true. I'm very brave when my wife is not. I know my wife's not listening to my podcast. So, Sean, let's take this home. Let's do a synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And your SmackDown synopsis tonight is brought to you by The Hub, where you can check out all kinds of great shows and podcasts, including The Raw Dogs. You can check out Jimmy and Donnie doing our main show, which also airs live here in Canada on TSN Radio. Plus, you can hear NXT reviews and all kinds of things. Pretty much everything, except if you want some AEW stuff, in which case you have to go listen to Sean's shows. And I'll let you plug at the end after you cut the crap out of this show, because I can sense it coming.
Sean, let's see if I can break grade to record for cutting stuff out of this show.
Okay, so basic rules, keep it, cut it, or speed it up with a superstar special. What do you want to do with the Paul Heyman, Cody Rhodes, Bloodline, blah, blah, blah for 20 minutes?
Okay, we're cutting this sucker down to basically Paul Heyman come out to the ring saying to Cody that he has the respect of the tribal chief, and we get a little bit of Kevin Owens and a little bit of the interference to set up the main event tonight. So we're superstarring this.
Yep. What about LA Knight and Jacob Fatu's little scuffle in the back?
I guess we'll keep it just for the fact that it makes Jacob look like a monster. And I feel like that's their goal now. He's going to be a future world champion for him.
Yeah. But it was definitely a.
Yeah.
Meh.
Especially for LA Knight.
Meh. Yeah. Well, Chelsea Green versus Meechan. What do you want to do with this one?
We are going to superstar this. Just so the fact that I'm getting Chelsea for this a little bit, I'm not going to make Canada mad at me for cutting Chelsea like I did last time.
Yeah, it was definitely, you can always speed that one up. Okay, we cut all the recaps. Sure, the tag team's fighting in the back. What do you want to do with that?
You know, let's give a shout to Dave Coulier. So let's cut it out.
Just no. Los Garza versus Pretty Deadly in our Who's the Heels match of the night.
I want to cut it because it wasn't. I feel like the other tag team title match was better. So let's cut this one.
And we are definitely booing the terrible match. LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, so we're cutting the end of this match. We're keeping everything up to the end.
So this was actually except for the end of the match, because we had to get somehow built to the tag match, which we had already built to. Motor City Machine Guns versus A-Town Down Under.
Okay, so I'm going to keep this because I said this was the better of the two tag team matches. And for a moment there, I feel like they need to keep Austin Fury and Waller together so they could have another heel tag team to work with.
Yeah, it was
this rebel heart.
It would just set up for more DIY shenanigans. The Tiffy Time promo. What do you want to do? Well, I got my hand on the button. I know what you're doing.
Okay. So I see I'm torn because it was such a disservice to the generational talent that is Tiffy Stratton, but we're keeping it.
Yes.
It's Tiffy time.
You have to keep it. The problem was we are going to travel there. We're going to decorate. We're going to spend $10,000 on a set and champagne.
I won't give her Cody's budget.
Yeah, she should have got all of Cody's pyro tonight. Okay, how about the women's four-way for the number one contender match?
Okay, you might think I'm crazy, but this was the best match on the card.
I don't think you're crazy. I think it was great. And that's why we're going to do a double Tiffy time.
It's Tiffy time.
Because the winner gets Tiffy, and that's always a prize.
Okay. I know, I should have been in the match.
You should have been in the match. I'm making an executive decision. Both the Cody and Jimmy backstage stuff and the Bailey gets their match next week. Ooh. Like, they could have just put graphics up. We didn't need any of this, but we needed to get to 3 hours, which is also why we got Jimmy Uso and Cody Rhodes versus Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. What do you want to do with our final match?
I want to cut it and let's just go to whatever USA head on after that.
Yeah, or if you're watching it in Canada on Netflix, just go to the next movie. It's like, you know, what's next on Netflix? I felt like during this match, Netflix should have come up and said, are you still watching? And it would have been like, no.
Nope. Or, hey, since you've been watching this, we'll suggest this. I'm like, yes, please.
No. Yeah, or no, well, if it's like, we're going to suggest 5 more Cody matches. And at this point, it's like, no, I don't know. I don't need any more of this foolishness. So, yeah, we're building towards Royal Rumble. The graphics of Royal Rumble look great. And so far, Sean, we have 2 former Rumble and multiple time world champions. I think between the two of them, there's like 7 world championships and 3 or 4 Royal Rumble wins.
I got to say, the men's Royal Rumble, as of this moment, looks like it's going to be stacked. It's probably going to be the better of the 2 Rumbles.
Oh, it can't. It's going to be the better Rumble because there's no, like, you could go in about 12. Like right now, the first 2 guys in, you could see both of them winning. You could add Punk in. You could see him winning. You could add either Uso brother, and I could actually see them winning.
Like, you can have Seth Rollins in there too, for the fact.
And he could win. You could have someone like way out of left field, like The Rock, come in and he could win. I mean, even someone like LA Knight is not that far down the card that you couldn't see him winning, even though he's going to lose to Nakamura. But there are multiple champions. I mean, AJ Styles could come in and win. Like, there are long shots, but boy, oh boy, there's like, I'd say 8 real contenders, 10 good contenders, and 5 super serious contenders for this year's Rumble.
I agree with you. But I still think there's probably 2 that are the most likely.
Which are?
Mr. Hustley, Royalty, and Respect. Yep. And your tribal chief.
Oh, I would say, you know what? I'd put Punk as the 3rd. Because I think Punk's due.
Well, okay. So I'm thinking for WrestleMania, we're going to get Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. No title needed. It looks like we're going to get Roman versus Cody 3 or 4. And I got a feeling that we're going to somehow flip this where Roman's the face and Cody's going to be a heel after this match.
And does that leave John Cena versus Gunther?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. So I can have Mr. Hustley, Royal Team, Respect, beat the guy I hate to death. Yes, please.
And have nothing left of his chest when he's done. Gunther would chop him in the next week. Did you see the clip yet? Okay, we'll end with this. Did you see the clip where Gunther goes to use the steel chair on the dummy and he doesn't hit him that hard? So he just drops the chair and chops the thing, the dummy, and it actually does more damage. His chop does more damage than his steel chair attack.
The dude is a mountain of a man. I gotta admit, he is a mountain of a man.
And the only reason you hate him so much is that, yeah, he's a lucky man as well.
Well, again, someone who outkicked their coverage.
if we're gonna say Zack Ryder / Matt Cardona outkicked his coverage, like, he outkicked the stadium. Like, that was he kicked it out of the stadium into the water next door.
Yeah, I gotta say, if you don't know who Gunther's married to, it's Jenny. She used to be on NXT UK. She retired due to injury. Google Jenny NXT. You understand why this is a.
Yeah, the question is, was it an in-match injury or was it a Gunther caused injury?
Oh, you guys are so bad about your jokes and stuff. So I walk right into it.
All right, John, speaking of walking into it, why don't you, you guys have made a big switch over at Radio Free Pro Wrestling and you're now covering AEW and everything AEW. So why don't you plug away?
Okay, so this comes tomorrow, Sunday. You can wake up. What happened in the weekend, AEW wrestling? Well, I got an answer for you. You can check out All Elite Radio, as me and Ashley have rebranded Radio Free Pro Wrestling so we can focus mainly on AEW, because we just noticed over the course of the last 9 months that we drifted more into AEW coverage. So we were like, hey, why not just make it the full-time thing for the podcast? So All Elite Radio is the place to be.
Ooh, and we'll have coverage of both your Dynamites and your Collisions and all of your AEW PLEs, which is great because, Sean, you're doing God's work by covering the 9-hour marathons.
Well, you know, I knew I was going to sign up for something crazy, and I was like, why not? It's 2025. New year, new me, new podcast. Why not?
And you can check out all of the things over here on the Hub. And with that, I wanted to thank Sean for joining us this week. And hopefully, Greg, his neck is feeling better, unless Sean hits him with the steel chair so he can have more Tiffy time.
Hey, Solo, do I still got a favor? Can I call in a favor again, please?
We the ones. That was great. Oh, Sean, that was...
Greg and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tales.